Welcome to Indigenized Connections on Air, a podcast brought to you by the University of Minnesota Extension Center for Community Vitality in the area of leadership and civic engagement, and also by the Minnesota Indigenous Leadership Network, which explores the issues that impact tribal communities and leadership throughout Minnesota. I'm your host, Jason Schlender, and I'm the American Indian Leadership and Civic Engagement Educator. My guest today is from the Grand Portage Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa. Prior to her service on the Tribal Council, she was a ranger for the National Park Service. She joins us now. Please welcome Chairwoman Drost to the podcast. Please share with us your leadership journey.
Oh, my leadership journey has been a lifelong journey. I've always kind of fell into or gravitated towards those roles where you're directing people and bringing people together and directing teams in a way. I was a jock all through high school, and so I was a captain on my volleyball team, and I was our class president for a couple years running, and so I've always just kind of been drawn into that role or thrown in or volunteered into that role as a leader. But developing leadership skills is another story, is taking each and every opportunity that you can to develop the skills and to move forward, and being involved in classes and groups and being able to practice the way that you want to be seen. And so it's been a long time for me developing into what they call a leader. But as for being an elected tribal leader, that's a whole different ballgame. And I feel that I was kind of propelled straight up into that, almost just I wasn't expecting it. And so being able to bring the skills that I've learned through all of my experience in education, to be able to speak with the people and for our people, has been just a tremendous journey in the past year for me, since July 2019.
It's interesting how you propelled into tribal politics. Is there any specific circumstance or anything that motivated you to, because prior to that, you're in the Park Service, and is there anything specific that kind of motivated you to run for tribal office?
There was the passing of our longtime leader here in Grand Portage. Norman Dishaw was a 27-year tribal leader in Grand Portage, and when he passed, it left a really big hole that nobody would have thought anybody could fill. And by gosh, I really certainly have not filled that hole. But in that situation, there were people who came forward and said, "Hey, you should do this. You know, you've been in school, you've been in management, you've been in leadership. You should do this." And I thought maybe sometime when I was in my 50s, I would run for tribal council and be able to have that esteem where your people look up to you. But I ran for council and for the chair position, and I was elected at that time. And that's why I think it was just kind of a propelling, because I was not looking for it, but it was the right time. And I believe right now, we're getting through this COVID-19 stuff together and as a team, in the way I like to move forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it also speaks volumes that your community seeks you out. You know, sometimes it's, you know, for many different people that pursue public office or, you know, in any type of position, sometimes it's just something, a personal goal of their own, but you know, it speaks to terms that your community seeks you out, and that's to be commended. So as you mentioned, you know, we're in this, you know, this time of COVID-19, you know, and a safer at home orders from the Governor Walz. In these challenging times, what's important for tribal leaders to keep in mind?
Well, I think a tribal leader shouldn't forget why they are where they are. You're there for the ultimate health and safety of your people, your land, and your community and your culture. And it's a really, you know, we have a lot of responsibility. And in times of like this, it's been really nice to come together with other tribal leaders who are battling kind of the same challenges as we are. And so it's not, you can't get lost up in yourself at this time. Here in the Minnesota Chippewa Tribe area, we're in the midst of an election that got delayed because of all of this. And so all of the chairs in the Minnesota Chippewa Tribe are actually running for election during all of this. And you know, that's kind of stuff that goes by the wayside is those campaign events right now, because they're not going to help us right now. And what we need to remember is that we're here for the people, and the people put us here. And that's not to be forgotten.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's, I think that what you said really, really rings true. It's that, you know, in a times of crisis, sometimes it brings out the best in all of us, but also the worst in us as well. So sometimes you have, we think about when this first was implemented with people fighting over toilet paper and, you know, and rushing to get to the store and all these different supplies. Now it's, you know, but then you see, you know, these stories of courage too, you know, people getting out to harvest and practicing our treaty rights and, you know, being able to provide, you know, and sustain ourselves in a natural way too it's always a good thing too. So with that, how have you navigated change within your position during this time? As you mentioned, you were, you know, just recently elected July of 2019, you know, getting into office, and then next thing you know, you're dealing with this global pandemic. And so I'm interested to hear how you have navigated change during this time.
Yeah, this last it's been a roller coaster since the very first day. My very first day sitting down to tribal government, they sat down and told me that we had been cyber attacked by a ransomware attack that had hit a whole bunch of places on the 4th of July. And that was my very first day. It's like, okay, now you have to deal with this. And so it's trial by fire, right? It's just getting in there and digging in. And the change part is, you know, I want to be a leader who doesn't put things upon people, but I want to be a leader who people want to come alongside and take on the ideas and reform them and make them into the best kind of ideas possible. And so I think that with that kind of training that I've had to be able to hear the different sides of a story and adapt different ideas into the main idea, so that we don't just have my idea, we have the whole group's idea, and one little piece out of everybody is in those ideas. And I think that's the way to change, is to create the buy-in from your team around you and to go together and go forward as a team. You're stronger.
Yeah. I think
bringing it back to the state of Minnesota and the tribes in Minnesota, we've been having a daily call during all of this for the last 7.5 weeks. And it came up on one of the calls. Somebody asked the question, are any other states working with their tribes or the tribes within their boundaries like the state of Minnesota was? And the question was kind of answered like, we might be the only ones doing this right now. And if that's not transformational between tribal and state governments working together on these big issues, it's just it's a really amazing and really fun time to be in tribal politics.
Well, it's you know, I guess it's refreshing too, you know, to kind of, you know, to have your perspective too, because sometimes it can be overwhelming, and you can only imagine, you know, as you mentioned, cyber attacks, and then you're just getting into this position, and you're, you know, being a former council member myself, they, you know, elders in my community said, it's going to take you about 2 years to understand, you know, to fully grasp. And,
yeah.
And so I, you know, I listened to that, and I always held that like in my mind all the time, because, you know, I mean, just like yourself, I was, you know, asked to run for council. I, you know, had a degree and, you know, various amounts of experience but didn't want to get ahead of myself thinking I knew all the answers too, but, you know, So it was like very, very humble, very humbling experience.
Well, I think that's one of the most important qualities of a leader is that humbleness, in being able to take it away from yourself. I mean, that's the goal, right? That is the biggest goal, I guess.
What kind of changes do you see coming to Grand Portage post COVID-19? What kind of changes do you see coming for your community?
I see different kinds of change. I see behavioral changes, of course, and physical changes in the way we do things. But I guess I'd like to focus on some of the cultural aspects that we've gotten kind of back to in this time. You know, our resources department has been utilizing our Annette Fisherman to deliver food to those on the reservation. We've also been providing venison to our band members. And we always have a stockpile of wild rice from the fall that we usually sell in our restaurant. And, you know, we're kind of reutilizing these resources that we have and thinking, you know, we have all we need right here. And that has been one of the coolest things, and that it just sends kind of like those tingles down my neck to be like, we have it. We have everything we need to survive right in front of us, and we need to use that more, and we need to get back to more of a time when we can survive off of our land and survive off of what was given to us. And so that is one big change that I'd love to see: more food sovereignty and more people getting back to singing the songs and doing the dances that they can relearn now. That is one of the most exciting things. As for like physical and everything that we do, our closest shopping is 45 minutes down the road. And so we're even, you know, we're traveling our groceries that far. And I think our county has become a lot closer knit, because we're one of the only counties right now, Cook County in Minnesota, without any cases. And so right now a lot of people are focusing on prevention and education. And so the changes that are coming are, we need to protect ourselves. We need to be able to enact the kind of the resolutions like we do at the council, to be able to stop people coming in when we can, and to be able to regulate ourselves, because that's what sovereignty is having the ability to make our own rules within our own boundaries. And I see more of a return to a sovereign tribal land where we are making decisions that are the best for our people.
Yeah, that's so when you guys are out harvesting, say you're setting nets, are you, what type of, are you getting walleye? Are you getting whitefish, or is there?
Oh, right. Yeah. This time of year over on the side, we got lake trout. They were catching some Menominee as well. So lake trout and Menominee. We're catching the steelhead. We're running up in the creek, so there are a lot of fishermen out on the out on the creeks and kind of look up, kind of cool to look up the creek, and you see six young men with their poles in the water, definitely social distancing up the stream. It was kind of cool. And so, yeah, we've got, you know, the lake trout and the whitefish and things like that.
Nice. Yeah, that's always a, it's always a true delicacy, I guess, for us inland Ojibwe's. You know, we have, you know, we have more access to walleye. So for all the tribes around that are on the big lake, you know, whenever they, we're always looking for an opportunity to get some whitefish. So we're always looking to barter or trade, you know.
Oh, that's so funny that you say that. Yeah, we recently, the Grand Portage recently sent some fish up to our neighbors up in Boyce Fort. And it was from our elders to their elders, basically. And they ended up sending some of their lake fish back with us. And so we shared our big lake fish with them, and they shared our big lake. They're awesome. Small lake fish with them.
Yeah, I know. It's always a springtime is always a good time for walleye, and I always look forward to getting some whitefish too. So it's always
yeah.
And it must be so great to be able to provide, you know, to our, you know, to your elders in your community too. I know that's always a big thing that, you know, people in my community, even in other communities, I know they always look forward to.
Yeah, and it doesn't come in a can, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it's all fresh.
All the work and the, you know, all the work that goes into whether you're netting or if you're spearing, it's always worth it. Mm-hmm. So
food is money.
Yeah, absolutely. So I just got a couple more questions for you. When we look at our leadership, you know, it's, you know, what kind of wisdom do you have for our, you know, for future leaders and their future leadership?
I don't know if I have any wisdom yet. I'm really new at this. Wisdom to know when you don't know something, I think, is a good thing to have, is and know when to ask for help and ask often. Often, and what do they say, early and often for help. You know, at just being a leader, you can't be in it for yourself, and you have to just practice, whether you're practicing, you just have to practice and practice being in that position. It's not easy to get up in front of people and sum up your thoughts or what you're about in 5 minutes or 10 minutes or even an hour sometimes. And just to know that what your goal is, and that's, you know, a happy and a healthy and a safe people. And if you're a leader of a team, that's what your goal is, to keep your team safe and happy and keep everybody getting along and going in the same direction. And so I think a good leader is somebody who brings people together in a positive way. And somebody to follow is somebody who brings other people up. I try to do that anyway, and I hope I'm successful in the areas, and I know I'm practicing, and I'll be practicing for the rest of my life. But know that if you feel the need to lead, then you really need to get out there and be a leader. Don't stand in the shadows and wait for that to come to you, because a leader is something who's just going to go after it too.
You know, just, you know, within your own leadership journey, how you were sought out, people sought you out. So there was something, a quality within yourself that, you know, that people believe in, you know, and the true, I get, you know, the way I always look at it is like your assessment for leadership is kind of quantified in tribal elections, right? You know, if you're successful, you know, your assessment is you're reelected, you know, and so that's always a measure of how successful you are, I guess.
And so, yeah, definitely.
So the our last question is, what ways do you see tribes connecting through economic development post COVID-19?
Oh my, I really like this question because it focuses on, you know, the relationships. It has opportunity to focus on the relationships that we're building here in this crisis, where we have to come together and we have to lean on each other and we have to say, what are you doing about this and what are you doing about this? And so the 11 tribal leaders getting together on basically two daily calls, maybe, and possibly even more than that, dealing with all of this stuff. We are creating these channels and these relationships to be able to learn, about each other. We can create buying power by buying together, you know, things that we need. If we need PPE, we can pool our resources and put it together to get a better economies of scale. Or we can pool our training of our employees together for our casinos, because we all have casinos. And if we all have these kinds of things going on, how can we work together to be able to make it better in the end? And so I think for economic development for tribes, just creating the relationships between the different tribes, and then working between those relationships to really grow them and see opportunity. Because here in northeastern Minnesota, the border is Canada. We've got the lake and we've got the Superior National Forest on the other end of us. We're pretty remote up here, and so we don't see anybody on a regular basis. But that brings it to light. All the video conferences we've been doing have really brought us together, and so we see where the challenges are for all of us. We see where some of us are weak and some of us aren't, and so communication. That's one of the biggest things for economic development is the ability for tribes to trade information.
So miigwech.
Oh, miigwech so much, Jason. Thank you for the time to share a little bit, and your words are way too kind. Thanks.
Yep, miigwech. Miigwech to Chairwoman Drost for joining today's podcast. To learn more about the Grand Portage Chippewa's response to COVID-19 pandemic, please visit www.grandportage.com. To learn more about leadership and civic engagement, go to extension.umn.edu/community-development/leadership-and-civic-engagement, where you will find more resources on growing leaders and strengthening leadership. Make sure to follow the Minnesota Indigenous Leadership Network on Facebook, www.facebook.com/umn.indigenous.leadership.network. To stay up to date on research and resources for tribal communities and tribal leadership, we hope that you will join us again for another episode of Indigenized Connections on